Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Mark Cenerise, we're back. So Matt Klentak did a Zoom conference call as, what are they calling it, Jack? Summer training?
Yeah, they're calling it spring training 2.0, but some are calling it summer camp.
Which I believe Matt Klentak was calling it summer camp. And they also said that they plan to utilize FDR Park, which is across the street from Citizens Bank Park.
There's a new field in there that's like actually really, really nice. That's where Carpenter Cup's played.
Yes, exactly. They used to do it in the stadium. Now they do it over there.
That's where Bloomsburg found a 6'1", 200-pound right-hander.
All right.
There he goes.
Enough of you. So Klentak talked about a lot of stuff, including what is on a lot of our minds, which is JT Realmuto. Last week, they were able to sign him. The freeze was over. They could sign him to a contract extension. Jim Salisbury starts floating 6 years and $23 million a year. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like Matt Klentak feels like that number or the years is going to happen. Here's Klentak earlier.
Any feeling yet on the JT Realmuto possible contract extension? Do you think it's a possibility something could happen before the end of the season, before the end of camp? Or do you think that's something at this point with only 2 months to go? Might not happen until the off season.
Probably too soon to tell, Todd. I think, as you guys know, we were prohibited from talking to JT or his representative for the last 3+ months. So we didn't. And that restriction was lifted on Friday. And just candidly, we've been kind of nose to the ground on just intake screenings and getting people here. So I have not touched base with them this weekend either. As far as a timeline, I just don't know. I need to talk to them. We need to find out. I think it's, obviously I don't need to tell you guys this, but the landscape that we left in March is going to be different than the one we return to now. And we just have to see, how that manifests itself in our discussions. We still love the player. We still would love to have him in red pinstripes for the long haul. But, there's a lot of uncertainty in the game right now on a variety of levels. So we just need to factor all that in. So I wish I had a more concrete time frame to give you, Todd, but I think we just need to play that out. And I really don't know the answer to that.
All right. So it was a long answer, but he said the landscape we left in March is different from the landscape now. We have to see how that manifests itself. We still love the player and want to have him for the long haul. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. We have to factor that in. In other words, the money and the years that they were maybe willing to do back in February ain't happening right now. So, I guess what I was saying on Friday, I don't see who – you're bidding against yourself if you give him 6 years or even 5 years. Mm-hmm. I think if the Phillies were offering 4 right now with an option at that money, you would take it. But they may
– Listen, if he – as long as he's here, that's the only thing that matters. When the options are he's here or he's leaving, that's where you're going to get – people with an issue.
Everybody, yeah, people want him.
Exactly. So if he agrees to a 4-year deal, 3-year deal, great, you got him here. But if he's saying, no, I want this or I'm leaving, then that's where you're going to get pushback from fans.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Jack, what do you make of this latest thing other than it doesn't seem like it's good for leverage for JT?
Yeah, it all feels in negotiation. I mean, it seems like they don't want to pay what they're obviously asking for. Like, they're not going to fork over 6.23, like 6 years, $23 million. They're trying to get him for a discount because they're losing $100 million in in revenue this year.
They say.
Supposedly, yes.
Right. And I think if you're JT, you have to almost reassess your market. You can't be – if you're JT Realmuto, you can't think you're going to get the same
amount, right.
Because you're not going to get that from anyone. It doesn't matter if you're the Yankees, Mets, big market team, because all these teams are losing $100 million this year. So, like, you have to recalibrate your thinking. And if I was him, I'm not entering in the free agent market looking for, like, I would be afraid of signing a 1 year deal.
If you can get a 4 year contract right now, then you go for it.
Worth
$80 million,
$16 million a year or something.
You take it. Yep.
Take
it. Yeah, because you're right. The 1 year contract. All right. Yeah, you're risking it, right? So I guess it all depends.
Well, and then there's
going to
be a work
matter.
Stoppage after 2021 anyway.
Yes.
You're taking another 1 year deal, and it's not worth it. It's
not as a 30-year-old catcher. It's not worth it.
Right. It's all unfortunate. It stinks, but it's something.
Yeah, that's where he screwed at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pandemic screwed you, JT.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if 2020 was a Philly athlete, it'd be JT Realmuto because he got screwed by.
Yeah. He sure did.
Yeah, and probably some other free agents,
Mookie
guys.
Betts is going to Mookie Betts would have made
$350.
I don't want to say $400, but close. Right, close to it, and he's not going to get that now.
He's going to
lose the most of anybody. He's going to lose $100 million.
Yeah,
he's going to lose at least $100 million.
He's going to lose $100 million.
Wow.
Yep. Now he could also sign a 4 or 5 year contract, and in 4 or 5 years, still get another big contract.
Again,
but
yeah.
He is not going to get. He's not getting the.
Not
8 years.
That Bryce Harper, Mike Trout deal.
Yeah, Bryce might be the last like $300+ million guy for a little bit.
For a while.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. We have some hecklers. Matt in Westchester. Matt, what you got?
Oh, let me take you off the speaker, guys, real quick.
Sure. What's up, brother?
Right, so, my thing was the heckler. I'm not a big heckler, but since I'm from Philly, it's definitely in my blood. So, remember Jose Mesa?
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, God, how long it took him to deliver. Well, when he got traded and he went to the Mets, I believe, after free agency, I'm not exactly sure how or what happened, but I remember he going to a different team. Mm-hmm. And when he ends up coming, I end up having seats by the bullpen when he ends up coming out for his relieving. And I always ask that I would heckle him and ask him how long it was going to take him to pitch this one or how long he plans on making the game last.
So this is as a Philly reliever, you're saying?
No, this is actually when he was not. When he wasn't. No, I'm not going to heckle the home team that much. You know,
right, that's why
we
asking.
Appreciate that. Yeah,
yeah. No, but Jose Mesa was my only culprit as a. As
what
a
did
fan.
He say? Anything?
I don't think he did say anything. He just kind of, you know, they look at you and glare at you as if I really want to say something, but I can't. But.
He's saying something in his head or under his breath.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I was asking him how long before he thinks he's going to have back surgery and all that, too.
Come on.
I mean, I don't know. I just remember watching him, and it took literally
he
a
did
good
have
minute,
that. He
good
did
minute
have that.
For him to pitch.
Even from the stretch, it took him forever to get to the
oh
point.
Oh, my God. Yes, you're correct, yeah. But, no, that was I'm not a big heckler, but that was my only culprit.
Oh, that's awesome.
Love it.
Isn't heckling like you talked about from football, but for the most part, is it it's the biggest in baseball? Because
yeah.
You can't really heckle somebody in basketball. It's tougher.
Oh, sure you can. That gets you tossed out.
Oh,
of
right,
there.
Right.
Did
that's what, yeah.
Did you guys ever hear the story of Joe Giglio getting thrown out of a high school basketball game by J.R. Smith?
Joe Giglio?
Yeah. He was heckling J.R. Smith so bad that J.R. Smith threatened to beat him up.
Joe Giglio, the most mild-mannered person at the station?
J.R. Smith just signed with the Lakers?
Yeah.
I have not heard this story.
J.R. Smith, who beat the hell out of some guy that was
right.
Messing with
his
car.
Yeah, Joe's lucky. Yeah, Joe's lucky.
So, what?
I had heard that story. You got to tell us when we come back.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
No.
Giglio's not in tonight, but. Next time we see Giglio, we got to have him explain the J.R. Smith story.
All right. Coming up, JT wasn't the only thing that Matt Klentak talked about today. He gave an answer on Odubel Herrera. Could Odubel be back? You'll hear more from Matt Klentak coming up next. And get some more heckling stories in here, too. Jack, you started this whole thing.
A good heckle's it's a job well done in Philadelphia. It's a point of pride.
215-592-9494. Marks and Ooh. Marks and Reese, we're back. All right, so you heard Klentak on JT Realmuto. So yesterday was at 4 p.m. The Phillies are going to have a camp of 60 people when they commence spring training 2 or summer camp, whatever they're calling it. So yesterday they added 53 people. So they announced 53 players were going to be in this camp, which means they can add 7 more, right? So they could add people from within their system. They could add free agents that are out there, minor league free agents, major league free agents, whatever. So they still have seven spots that they can add prior to the season. So from there, they're going to carry a 30 player roster, and then they'll have 30 players that are up in Lehigh Valley at a satellite camp, kind of their minor leagues that they can, with injuries or call-ups or whatever, they can bring guys to and from just like they normally would, except that's going to be their pool that they can choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Odubel Herrera was brought up today, and it didn't seem like Odubel was even going to be a possibility. Matt Klentak was asked about Odubel. Here's what he said.
How about Odubel? Did you consider him?
Yes.
He'll
continue to gain consideration, Jim. The 53 that we named is not going to be the only 53 we see all year. Obviously, we have seven to work with right now. I mentioned some replacements that will likely be coming this week. And I think as we get towards the end of spring training, there'll probably be a second wave of players that join. That could include somebody like Odubel. It could include more longer-term prospects to get some development time. But again, we didn't want to make those decisions 3 weeks before we have to, because there's just so much that can happen in the next 3 weeks. It's really almost 4 weeks because we don't start until Friday, but we just want to give ourselves some room to breathe and adjust if we need to before we make too many decisions that cannot be unwound.
Mm. Well, there you go. I mean, that was a long answer into saying he would consider Odubel Herrera. If he puts him on this 53-man roster now we're all going crazy that he was added to the 53-person roster, and now we're debating whether he should be on there. So I guess later they could add it to him so you wouldn't have as much talk about it. I don't think they will. Don't they have to say they're considering him because of the domestic violence thing? They can't say that the reason why they're not considering him is because of that.
They pretty much, the only way they can cut him is for baseball reasons.
Right.
That's the way it's negotiated into the CBA. So they have to make this seem like
they can't punish him because of the domestic violence
thing. Right.
He was already suspended, et cetera, for all that.
I mean, they can do what they want. They still got to pay him.
Yep.
Yeah, so in other words, they're not getting out of that contract.
No.
So there's no – they can't get out of the contract is essentially what you're saying. Because they wanted to get rid of him, they could.
Yes.
They could just pay him to go away. No, they plan to use him.
Think?
I mean, of course I do.
Mm. Well, I mean, he would certainly be better than most backup options that they would have.
Yeah, he's probably better than their starters. In center field?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Roman Quinn can't stay healthy. So if Roman Quinn was healthy and was given an opportunity, I'd love to see that.
Well, wasn't Odubel, was he an all-star?
A two-time all-star, I think so.
Right?
He was their best player on a bad team.
Yeah. And listen, I'm not telling you that.
At one point, Jack and I were pro-Dubel.
Yeah.
No more.
I mean, I'm not telling you this is what I would do, but to me it's clear that the Phillies at least are leaving this as an option.
He had 22 homers in 2018.
Yeah, the Phillies are leaving this as an option for sure.
Mm. What do you think, Jack? Is he on the team?
No. I don't think he's on the team. And I hope he's not on the team.
I mean, I hope he's not either. But
yeah, no. You're just – I mean, honestly, the way he answered it –
they basically didn't – they could have said
– he could have very easily said, sure, we'll consider him, and then ended it. But
yeah,
but he kept
talking about it.
He kept talking to where he said, well, it'd be too early for us to say anything definitively or blah, 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 blah. I mean, if I didn't want him on the team, I'd say, no, we'll consider Odubel. Next
That's
question.
What I read it. That the way I read it is he kept going on with the answer. It's almost as if he was – trying to soft pedal it for you to get you prepared that if we do it, this is probably why we're doing it. Or it was more or less, we don't want to commit to it right now.
He's not ruling it out.
Yeah, but we don't want to rule it out either right now.
And he made sure that he answered it like
thoroughly,
that.
Thoroughly, yes.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd almost forgotten about Odubel Herrera.
Yeah, I did too.
I almost forgotten about him.
I mean, honestly, more I think about it, the more it would make sense that they would stash them with the 30 players that aren't on the roster and see how things go, and then you get over the reaction of him being with the minor league team or with the satellite campus.
Well, just thinking about it this way. Is anybody going to be there to boo him?
That's a great point. Yeah, unless Angelo's going to break in the,
you know what I'm saying, like
the ballpark. Well, that's a great point. There might be some. There might be a few people there, but as it stands right now, it's not going to be normal.
My only point is that you wouldn't have a packed house if it was like a normal season, and have all the outrage not only from people on WIP, people in your stadium, signage in your stadium.
Yeah, it's a much different dynamic.
Yeah,
totally different. You're right. No, you're right.
They can almost get away with it.
They can get away with it a lot easier than before, because yes, if it's before and it's a regular season, it's a buildup. We're talking about it. Like you said, signage,
yeah.
Does it go national? It's obviously a conversation everywhere for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to the phones. Spencer in Ridley Park. Spencer, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? How y'all feeling?
Spencer, how are you?
What's up, Spence?
I'm good, man. I'm healthy. It's all I can ask for.
Yeah, okay. We're trying. Stay healthy.
Yeah. So I just wanted to chime in and get my 2 cents on the trade. I think
All right, so you're putting your Howie Roseman hat on, and you're playing GM. What are you doing?
So, at this point, if the deal is done this offseason, I'm willing to give the Jets their 2 first-round picks that they want, but in return, I need them to take Alshon Jeffrey's contract so the money matches up.
So you're going to give up 2 first-round picks and Alshon to get back Jamal Adams.
Yes. And the reason why I say that, because when you really look at it, 2 first-round picks doesn't hurt you as much, because Jamal Adams is essentially your 2021 first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
A draft which we don't know really how to evaluate the talent, because your may or may not be a college football season.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that doesn't hurt as much. And then when you look at it from the grand scheme of things, you're really only giving up 1 first-round pick for Jamal Adams, who's one that he's a proven commodity, and you know how he'll benefit your team going forward.
Yeah, just too rich for my blood, Spencer. 2 first-round picks, and you got to pay Jamal Adams. It's just too rich for my blood. I can't do it. And I like Jamal Adams as a player. I actually have felt uncomfortable denying this trade request for Jamal Adams, because I actually like him as a player, but I got to constantly bring up reasons as to why I wouldn't do this deal. And the number one reason is it's not his ability to play the game of football. It's the price tag that it's going to cost you. And it's at a position that isn't as great of a difference maker. It just isn't. It's the safety position.
I hear you, but on the same token, I'm looking at it from the field standpoint, where every other secondary position we have right now is an uncertainty other than Darius Slay.
Mm.
We don't know what Sidney Jones is going to be. We don't know what Jalen Mills is going to be. I mean, Ronnie McLeod's on a 1-year deal. I mean, mm-hmm. he is what he is. So I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, we locked up Darius Slay for three years. At least Jamal Adams is some sort of help to make sure Darius Slay is not left on the island the entire time.
Yeah, but he's a safety, though, Spence. He's a safety. Because here's what you're going to be mad at. When the Eagles have to go out there and spend that second-round pick on, like, the 7th best corner. Because you're still going to need a corner. You still need corners.
Mm.
I mean, Jamal Adams is a in-the-box safety, not a cover safety. So he's not covering very many people in man-to-man coverage. You're still going to need high draft picks, and you just giving away 2 first-round picks, so now you're picking from a lesser pool of talent.
Mm. All right, Spencer, if 2020 was a Philly athlete, who would you be?
Nnamdi Asomugha.
Oh, Nnamdi.
That's a good answer, honestly, because that's about how bad this has been this year.
Much hype coming in? Now you're just eating lunch in your car by yourself.
Yeah, we thought 2020 was supposed to be a big year, right?
Well, in the dream team. Someone said 2020 was going to be a dream team.
Yeah, can't you just say the dream team?
Man.
Andrew Bynum's pretty tough to beat, though. Nnamdi's pretty tough to beat.
I mean, at least I thought 2020 was, even if it wasn't supposed to be a big year for the sports teams, meaning they were going to go out and win titles. I didn't think the Sixers were going to win the title this year. I didn't think the Phillies were going to win the title this year. And I knew the Eagles needed to hit the reset button to some degree. So I didn't necessarily think they would be a title contending team. Flyers, who knows? what could have happened there.
Yeah. Kurt Schilling on Twitter, Jersey Josh says Kurt Schilling.
Yeah, Kurt Schilling just didn't he deactivate his Twitter account?
He probably should.
Apparently.
No, I think he did. I think he got into it with Trevor Bauer and
yeah, he can't help himself.
Somebody else, and yeah.
John Kincaid says Von Hayes. That's a good one. Jason Babin, that's a great one.
2020 has been Jason Babin.
Oh
no, at least Babin gave us 18 sacks.
Yeah, there's some production there. What's been productive about 2020?
Not been very productive this year.
Danny Tartable.
Yeah. I don't remember Danny Tartable here.
Well, I think he had. I think did he get like eight at bats? He found off a he found a ball off his foot.
Foot, right? Yeah.
And he never played again.
I heard the story. Yeah.
I hate him.
Off a foul ball off his foot.
Off his foot. Yeah, people hate
and
him.
And never played again?
No, he didn't play the rest of the year.
Yeah. I must have seen Bryce foul a ball off his foot at least three, four times last year.
I guess he didn't have that guard on his foot.
He's a Philly guy.
That's true.
Tony says Gabe Kapler.
Oh. Gabe.
Love it.
Gabe wasn't that bad.
No, not that bad.
Gabe wasn't that bad.
All right, back to the phones. Earlier, Jack Fritz out of nowhere said that he used to heckle opposing players down at Citizens Bank Park. Bill in Bluebell has a story about the Phillies bullpen. Bill, what's up? How are you?
Well, guys, I'm doing great. Great radio. I was involved with the construction of the stadium. I know Joe Giles, Mike DeMuse, you know, so a little credibility here. When they built the stadium, the Phillies were on top. That's where their bullpen was.
And they switched it.
Two games. They said, we're not staying up here. There's no way we're going to stay up here. So they switched it. And they went down underneath. And the funny thing about that bullpen is, you know there's an elevator in that bullpen?
Yes, actually I did.
ADA required them to put an elevator in there. And the other thing is about Ashburn Alley, and I'll tell you, because the footprint of the stadium was designed, and the executive, Dave Montgomery, God rest his soul, they decided to expand the executive area of the their spot. That's why you come around the concourse, and Ashburn Alley is so narrow. Because they expanded the executive area, so they had to move the whole stadium. That's why when you get into Ashburn Alley, it's so tight.
That's great. That's great stadium knowledge there, Bill.
Oh, it's a great stadium, but think about Ashburn Alley being the wise of concourses.
Yeah.
But to go back to the bullpen, the Phillies were there for two games, and they said, we're not staying up here. And the only guy, when it comes to the elevator, or likes that elevator being in there, is a guy who mows the grass upstairs.
And that's it. All right, Bill,
guys,
appreciate it. Two games, and they switched it. I did not know that. Mark in South Philly. Mark, go ahead. How are you?
Yo, guys. Let me take you off speaker real quick.
What's up, brother? By the way, Isael Jenkins gets mentioned on Twitter. All right.
So this was a Philly game athlete. Probably last year, maybe 2 years ago, Phillies against the Dodgers, right? And I don't know if you guys know anything about Dodgers fans, but, like, when the Dodgers come to town,
they took over the stadium.
Saw it last year. Was that last year?
Last year.
Yeah, last year.
This was probably one of the games that I'm talking about then, right?
Yeah, so they had, like, a fans of Philly type group come in, right?
Yeah, and they come out of nowhere, man. Like, where do they come from?
L.A.
So, long story short, the game got really, really bad with the rain out. It came out. It stopped the game for, I'd say, 2.5 hours, and there was, like, probably 5 or 6 Phillies fans behind the Dodgers dugout. And out of nowhere, probably about, like, 45 Dodgers fans came out, and it was just a heckling match back and forth, back and forth. And I felt powerless, bro, because we're in Philly, but we were outnumbered by the Dodgers.
Wasn't Bryce Harper getting heckled by Dodgers fans?
Bryce Harper, everyone was getting heckled that game. It was insane. Bryce Harper was getting it really bad, but I remember there was this one guy next to me. He really got to, what was his name? Verdugo. He was on the Dodgers. He got traded to the Red Sox, but he got under his skin a little bit, talking about him wiggling his butt at the plate or something. It was pretty funny, though. But that's my story, guys.
Appreciate it, Mark. Appreciate it.
Okay,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, that was a weird game. All the Dodgers fans came in, and they were so damn good. They were just beating the hell out of the Phillies. Let's go to Andy in Deptford. Andy, what's up, brother? How are you?
Yo, what's good, guys? How we doing?
Hey, Andy.
What's up, Andy?
How'd everybody's weekend go? Good?
No.
No?
No, I had a terrible weekend.
Oh, I had a great weekend, Andy.
Oh, man, I got to bring in my daughter's 14th.
I saw that. Andy, how many kids do you have?
How many kids do I have?
Four?
No, oh no, I got two kids.
All right, so I saw your Instagram picture. You had a bunch of kids on the couch. That was just family and stuff.
Yeah, that was some of the crew. You know, we had to keep it under five of her friends. You know what I'm saying? Can't go too crazy right
now. Social
distancing.
Yes. There you go.
It was a good time. How you guys feel about Cam? You think he can do anything up there in New England?
Yes, I do.
I do too.
They instantly become the favorites to win that division.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you figure they got 11 wins in that castle. Think what he's going to do with Cam. I think Cam's going to go up there and maybe rejuvenate his career. I don't know. I'm hoping the best for him. Always like Cam.
That's what he's hoping for. I mean, the one thing that I would worry about as far as their offense is, do they have enough weapons, right? Because they have Edelman who's coming back, but really, like last year, they didn't have a ton of weapons. So, I mean, but the great thing with Belichick, he just seems to know what to do. They have a system.
Without a doubt. Fritz was talking about Joe Giglio was about to get lumped up by J.R. Smith. Oh, my God. Where did J.R. go to Lakewood? I know he was from up North Jersey.
Somewhere
in Jersey.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith is a Jersey guy. He's a North Jersey guy. Yeah, for sure.
Giglio better stay in his lane, man.
Yeah, really.
He's really going to be catching that L.
Yeah, because J.R. Smith don't play. Yeah. So, he is giving lumps to whoever he can.
Did you see that when he stole the guy that was messing with his car?
Yep.
Beat the hell out of him.
That guy didn't even see that coming. He should have dropped him one punch, though.
So
he went to
St. Benedict's, which is a notorious school
powerhouse
up there. Yeah,
yep.
in Newark.
I think he's from Lakewood, though.
He is.
Lakewood area.
He is. That's correct.
As far as who I would want, as far as the free agencies, I just look at Clowney. I mean, a position of need. I don't know the last time we had a guy that had double-digit sacks. He'd come in. He'd be our best DN from day one. He's better than anybody we got on the roster. And, I mean, nobody signed him right now, so you may be able to get him on a cheap – I don't know about cheap, but you may be able to get him on a one-year
– cheaper.
Yeah.
Center-based kind of deal. I mean, he instantly upgrades that defense, especially on a secondary that's kind of suspect. He's only going to make them a little bit more better and more comfortable back there.
Yeah, the problem with Clowney, I think he would have to choose the Eagles. Because here's what I think is going to happen with Clowney. Like, he's going to be offered a one-year deal by a couple of teams. I think Cleveland is still in on him. I think Seattle is still in on him. Now you're hearing Dallas may be in on him. And then you obviously have the Eagles who would also like him. So if I'm trying to choose on a one-year deal where I could go, you want to go where you're going to get the most snaps. The defense is conducive to you doing what you like to do. They're going to use you. Here's the other thing with Clowney. He's never been in a defense where he rushes from one side.
Right.
They
move around.
They move him around. They let him stand up because he's difficult to pick up where you're going to block him at.
Thanks, Eddie.
I mean, he's going to have the choice because it's going to be like, okay, what's the best of these one-year deals?
Yep. Yeah, highest profile. Like, does he look at the Seahawks and say, that's
who
a great,
am I playing with? Yes. Like who's with, who, like, what players are lined up next to me? Now, you do have Fletcher, Brandon Graham, and Javon Hargrove as an enticing group to want to play next to. But the Derek Barnett factor, if Derek Barnett is going to be here, then there's no doubt that Jadeveon Clowney is going to be on a heavy rotation. So now maybe he doesn't get the reps that he's looking for. And the difference with him than with some other pass rushers who wouldn't care if they didn't play on rundowns, he may be more effective versus the run.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's a great run defensive end because of his size, but he wants sacks, so he has to be out there on third down.
Yeah.
Passing situations.
He wants the stats that are going to get him paid.
Yes.
Yep. So who was the last Eagle to have double-digit sacks? Andy asked the question.
I think Fletcher's highest is 9.5.
Was it Trent?
No, Fletcher was the last. He had 10.5 in 2018.
Oh, it was 10.5.
Okay. I did not think so.
Okay,
that
I thought it was
9.5.
It's 10.5. Oh, Brandon's highest is 9.
He never
and
had
half.
Double digits.
Right,
he came
that's
close.
What it is, yes.
So Fletcher did it. Before that, who was the last Eagle to have double digits?
Oh, Babin.
Incorrect.
Oh,
Connor Barwin had 14.5 sacks.
I do remember that. Yep.
It was a great signing.
That's the year he made the Pro Bowl,
I think.
Yeah. That's the year he made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and then Babin, unfortunately, had 18 sacks.
Well, Trent had some double digit sacks.
He
right?
did.
Yeah, he had a couple in there. Yeah.
2009, he had 12.5. 2007, he had 12.5. 2011, he had 11.
Dude, I'm telling you, getting one sack a game seems like that's not much, but that's 16 sacks.
Yeah, there's very few players that get one game.
Yes, nobody's getting one sack a game except Reggie White.
21 and 12 games.
Yeah, except Reggie White.
Trent Cole did it three times.
Yeah.
Trent Cole is that one player we do not talk enough about. No. About him. He was a really, really good player. 215-592-9494. Mark Sinrese. 215-592-9494. Back into the Eagles discussion on the other side. Put your Howie Roseman hat on. You have one more move to make this offseason. Trade for Jamal Adams, sign Jadeveon Clowney, or trade for Yannick. And give us your best heckling story in honor of Jack Fritz the heckler. Mark Sinrese. 215-592-9494. Mark Sinrese. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.